Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod's Sleep Stories. My name is Chris, and tonight I will be your guide as we embark on a journey that will take us from the lush jungles of India to the rain-soaked cobblestone streets of London. We will listen to a classic retelling of the famous story by Frances Hodgson Burnett, A Little Princess. We will follow the tale of a kindly, rich, young girl as she grows up, finds friends, loses her fortune, and then finds it yet again. Before we begin, however, let us take a moment to unwind and find comfort in the place that we are in, here and now. Close your eyes and allow your body to sink into the mattress beneath you. Here and now, there are no obligations. There is no to-do list. The day is behind you, and now it is your time to rest. By simply closing your eyes and being here with me now, you are beginning to relax. With your eyes closed and your body sinking deeper and deeper into the mattress, take notice of how wonderful it really is to be here, lying in bed at this moment. Feel the softness of the plush mattress beneath you. Gently shift your awareness to the points where your body is in contact with the mattress. Now, spread that awareness to your arms, your legs, your chest, and your back. Feel the pillow beneath you cradling your head, giving it a safe place to rest while it refreshes after a long day. With your eyes closed, try to picture your room. In your mind, see the outlines of your furniture. See the items on your nightstand, the trinkets and little bits of your daily routine. See the outline of the door, and then the outline of the window. But there's something different about your window now. Just outside, there is a tiny orange orb. It glows, almost like it's a star. This star, this orb, is encased in a thick circle of haze, which diffuses the light and allows it to glow softly, leaving warm illumination everywhere it goes. This orange little orb taps on your window. It taps, sounding almost like soft, fluffy snow crunching against the window pane. It hovers there for a moment, illuminating whatever is beyond your window. Perhaps it is a tree, a sidewalk, another building. Whatever it is, it paints it in that calming orange glow that reminds you of sunsets on cool winter days. A breeze ripples across the blankets as the window opens up, letting a gust of air meander through. The air smells of the outdoors, of the cool night and tall evergreen pines that kiss the skyline in the distance. You can hear the crickets now, but beneath it all, you hear a steady, warm buzz of this strange little orb. The orb glides into the room, illuminating everything in that glow. You see the items on your nightstand, silhouetted by the aura the orb gives off. The walls are now painted in that calming color that flickers and changes, almost like candlelight. The orb makes its way toward you, bumbling through the air like it is floating aimlessly on a breeze. It glides down toward your head, and as it does, you feel the warmth radiating from it. That warmth sinks down into your head and your neck. You feel it melting away any tension you've been carrying there. Your thoughts that may have been scattered or heavy are rearranged, leaving you with nothing but a calm, relaxed headspace. Your tongue falls away from the roof of your mouth, and your jaw completely relaxes as your teeth unclench and your mouth slacks, relaxed. You feel your shoulders fall away from your ears, giving you all the space you need there to unwind for the night. Then the orb travels down to your chest. You feel your lungs expand and then relax, allowing you to take deep, nourishing breaths in and out. In and out. You feel your heart relax as it slows. It, too, is at peace, moving in rhythm with your long, steady breaths and the energy of the room around you. The orb continues on down your body, tapping each of your arms. You feel your fists unclench and your arms fall weightless deeper and deeper into the mattress. Then the orb continues on down to your legs. Any pressure or pain you've been carrying there is tapped away by the little glowing orange orb, leaving you free of any kind of pressure or discomfort there. The orb lifts up above your completely relaxed body now. You watch as it floats up and up to the ceiling. Then meanders its way on over to the window, where it glides out into the cool night air. The window shuts behind it, and though that glowing orb is gone, you can still feel the warmth, that orange light with you. That aura of peace and calm that is a part of you now. If at any point during our story, you find your mind going to places you wouldn't like it to, know that you can always return to this exercise, to this glowing orange orb, and the light that is always radiating from inside you. Now that we have taken the time to relax and find comfort in the place that we are in here and now, let us begin our story. It was a spring day, and the world was alive. The air smelled of banana leaves and loam, and the bountiful flowers that stretched from the edge of the property all the way into the forest mountains far beyond. And today, the air smelled of one of Sara's favorite things. It had just rained, washing the landscape in a glossy glow that made this world feel even more magical than usual. And with that rain came the smells of the forest and the garden in full force. Sara ran barefoot through the dewy grass, soaking in the feeling of the earth against her feet. She was a good little 7-year-old girl, a proper 7-year-old girl. But all bets were off when there was a fresh, rainy countryside for her to run around and play in. She breathed in the aroma of jasmine, of the beautiful jasmine flowers that seemed to glow an even brighter white against the cloudy, stormy sky. As she ran through the garden, she outstretched her hands and let her fingertips run along the petals, picking up dewdrops along the way and scattering them into the grass with abandon. She breathed in the scent of the sweet, sweet roses that peppered the hillsides. They weren't just red roses or pink roses. It was a mosaic of brilliant Valentine colors. White roses that reached for the heavens and had petals that fell to the ground like snow. Yellow roses that shined even brighter than the sun, ensuring that nobody missed them on a rainy day like today. Sara loved the smell of the roses. She loved the taste of the roses in her tea. She loved the tastes and scents and environment of this beautiful place she had the privilege of growing up in. She was in India. Her father, Captain Ralph Crewe, had brought Sara's mother here before Sara was even born. And it was here that Sara remained after the passing of her beloved mother. It was here that Sara learned about the beauty of nature and the comfort that can be found in it. It was here that Sara learned manners and learned to treat everyone like her equal. But that very day that she was running through the fields of roses and jasmine was the day that Sara learned she would no longer be staying in India. She was 7 now, old enough to go to a boarding school like all the other children whose parents served in the British Army. It wasn't an easy decision for Captain Crewe. He was a man who lived and breathed for his beloved daughter. He doted on her, getting her absolutely everything she needed to survive and thrive. Spending hours and hours letting her run barefoot in the fields, even when other people in the army turned their nose up at her. He never let her go without whatever her heart desired, and he could afford to on his salary. But he knew that Sara could not stay in India. It was traditional for the children that were born in India to be sent away and educated in England, where the climate was more tolerable and where there were better opportunities for learning. And so, one sad day, Captain Ralph Crewe put his darling daughter on a ship. He kissed her goodbye and held her tightly, promising that one day they would be able to be together again. Until then, he would do all in his power to make sure that she was comfortable, safe, and happy, that she could grow into the fantastic woman he knew she would become. Sara made the long journey back to England, where she was to study at Miss Minchin's boarding school for girls. It wasn't a terrible school by any means, but it wouldn't have provided the kind of treatment Sara was used to. Sara's father couldn't bear the idea of his daughter being uncomfortable or struggling at all. So, in order to ensure he didn't have to, he contacted the headmistress of the school. He gave her copious amounts of money, with orders that his daughter be treated with the most respect and dignity, as that money would allot. He wanted her to live an exceptional life of luxury, even when she was across the world living in a boarding school. And that's exactly what she got. Sara was awarded things that none of the other girls at the school could even dream of. She had her own private room with her own personal maid to wait on her hand and foot. A room contained a luxurious canopy bed with rich mahogany panels on the walls, which only amplified the ambience of wealth that one encountered when they made their way into the room. She had her favorite things in the room, dolls and toys and books, more than any other student at the school had. It was truly heaven for a girl her age in that time period. And she appreciated every second of it. As if the private room wasn't enough, Sara was given an additional room, a separate sitting room for her and her maid, as well as any guests that came over to visit. This arrangement caused quite a stir with other students at the school. And not only that, but if Sara wanted to leave the campus, she was able to do so in style. Her father's funds provided her with her very own horse and carriage, which she could use to travel through the streets of London when her schedule and desires aligned. Every student and every worker at the school knew of Sarah's wealth. When she first arrived, there were whispers about how much money she had. And with those whispers of her wealth came whispers about her character. No one had ever met her before, but everyone assumed she was a rich, spoiled girl who would treat everyone with contempt. But after Sarah arrived, that assumption was proven to be completely false. She greeted absolutely everyone with a smile and the utmost respect. People expected her to think highly of herself because of her wealth, and only associate with those who were in her same social standing. But that couldn't have been further from the truth. The very first morning of school, Sarah sat in class with the other students. She was well aware that everyone's eyes were on her. They were trying to observe her, trying to size up the new student and see what she was about, trying to see if the rumors were true. But during that first class, Sarah's attention was focused mainly on one of her classmates. Her name was Ermengarde St. John, and she was far from the most popular girl in class. Her father was an incredibly quick-witted man, but Ermengarde did not inherit the same trait. Sarah could not help but notice that Miss St. John struggled to learn French, often causing the other classmates to chuckle at her lack of knowledge and poor pronunciation. It was a pitiful thing, and it made Sarah care deeply for her. Her father often said that if Sarah had been a boy, she would have raced across the countryside with a sword drawn, defending anyone being made fun of, and rescuing anyone who happened to be in trouble. And in this case, Sarah did her own version of just that. When the students were dismissed for a break, she searched through the crowd, desperate to find Miss St. John. She waded through the sea of students who were all looking at her, all excited to talk to her, until she finally found Miss St. John sitting at the window, looking despondently out into the countryside. Sarah was sure she was thinking of the students laughing at her and the teacher snapping at her, and it made her desperately want to hold Miss St. John in her arms and tell her everything was going to be okay. Sarah approached Miss St. John and asked her name with a warm smile. When she responded that her name was Ermengarde St. John, Sarah felt a flutter in her chest. She replied rather excitedly, "Mine is Sarah Crewe. Yours is very pretty. It sounds just like a storybook." Ermengarde blushed, happy to be on her way to making a new friend. she asked if Sara really liked her name, making sure to tell Sara that she liked hers as well. The two hit it off. They started to talk about French, and Ermengarde was fascinated that Sara spoke it at all. Sara assured Ermengarde that if she grew up around it, she too would have been able to speak it. They felt such a warm camaraderie toward one another that Sara invited Ermengarde up to her room to meet her favorite doll, Emily. Ermengarde was perplexed and delighted by the invitation. She had heard rumors that Sara had a playroom all to herself. And as they took a step beyond the grand door of Sara's parlor, Ermengarde could see with her own two eyes that it was true. Sara lovingly introduced her to Emily, who was nestled in a chair beside the crackling fire. She told Ermengarde that Emily could walk and talk when Sara was not around. At least she believed that she could. From that moment onward, Ermengarde and Sara were the best of friends. It would seem they were an unlikely pair. Ermengarde was the focus of many jokes by the students at the school. She wasn't regarded as particularly bright or interesting, and she wasn't considered to be very beautiful. But Sara didn't care. Sara saw Ermengarde's heart, and it didn't matter to her how different their social standings were. But it wasn't just Ermengarde that Sara helped and befriended. That seemed a little odd for a girl of her stature. Sara was truly a girl who liked to help any and everyone. And that included people younger and older than her. She became a friend and helper to Lottie, a 4-year-old girl prone to tantrums, and she had a good reason for having them. One day, Sara heard wailing echoing through the halls. Everyone did. It was undeniable. And many of the workers were frustrated beyond belief. It was the little Lottie wailing inconsolably for not having a mother. The realization had devastated her. And all morning, she was stuck in a loop crying about it. The workers were exhausted, unable to calm her down. Truly, nothing worked. They rubbed her back. They told her it was okay. They punished her and were cruel to her. They threatened her. But nothing made poor little Lottie stop crying. Sara couldn't stand hearing the young girl's cries. She asked Miss Minchin if she could perhaps try to help young Lottie stop crying. Out of ideas, Miss Minchin told her she could try. Sara followed the cries to Lottie's room and found her lying face down on the floor, wailing continuously about not having a mama. Sara asked the woman attending to her if she could try something, and the woman approved. allowing Sara to come beside little Miss Lottie. Sara looked down at the young girl for a moment. She could see the pain she was carrying, the sadness, and it filled Sara with sympathy and compassion for the young girl. Lottie wailed up at her, crying as she kicked her little legs and pounded her fists into the ground. But Sara didn't say anything. She simply watched Lottie for a moment as she continued to cry and thrash about on the floor. And then, instead of yelling at Lottie, or cuddling her, or saying anything to her, Sara just lay down beside her. Lottie was confused, but she continued to cry and thrash about for quite some time. Until, finally, Lottie turned to look at Sara. With tears in her eyes, she told Sara in a more defeated, less powerful voice that she didn't have a mother. Sara looked at Lottie with a gaze of total understanding and told her that she didn't have one either. "Where is she?" Lottie asked in a soft, unsure voice. Sara paused, really taking that question in. And then, in a honey sweet voice, she replied, "She went to heaven, but I am sure she comes out sometimes to see me, though I don't see her. So does yours. Perhaps they can both see us now. Perhaps they are both in this room." Lottie looked up, looking around the room for her mother. In a kind voice, Sara continued telling Lottie all about heaven. "There are fields and fields of flowers, fields and fields of lilies, and when the soft wind blows over them, it wafts the scent of them into the air. And everybody always breathes it, because the soft wind is always blowing. And little children run about in the lily fields and gather armfuls of them and laugh and make little wreaths. And the streets are shining. And people are never tired, however far they walk. They can float anywhere they like. And there are walls made of pearls and gold all around the city. But they are low enough for the people to go and lean on them and look down onto the earth and smile and send messages of love and hope." And with those words, with that explanation, Sara had cemented herself as an important person in Lottie's life. No longer did Lottie have tantrums of that nature, because she knew that she had Sara nearby to help her if she ever needed it. Though Sara was wealthy, she was the opposite of what people expected. And that became clear after those two friendships. Years went on like this. Sara always befriended the underdog and got close to them. She always defended those in need. And on the day of her 11th birthday, Sara would become the one in need. She attended a lavish party thrown for her at Miss Minchin's. All of her friends and classmates were in attendance, and it was a glorious, fun-filled day. But as the day came to an end, a heartbreaking, terrible truth was revealed. Captain Crewe, Sara's father, had died of jungle fever. As if this wasn't devastating enough, it turned out that before his death, he invested all his money in a failed diamond mine scheme with his best friend, Mr. Carrisford. In that single moment, Sara suddenly became a poor orphan. And not only that, but her extravagant parties and needs left Miss Minchin with a series of unpaid bills. Furious with the loss of the money, Miss Minchin took it out on poor Sara. She took all of Sara's belongings, except for her beloved Emily. For the first time in her life, Sara was penniless. She was nothing but a pauper. Miss Minchin ordered Sara to move up to the cold, dirty attic, where she would live while she worked as a servant to earn her keep in the school. For the next 2 years, Sara served as a maid and servant to Miss Minchin while living in those dire conditions. She wasn't given proper clothing for the cold winter, and there were many nights when she went hungry. And though she didn't have a fancy room, a servant, or a plethora of toys and shiny belongings anymore, her friends still came to visit her. Lottie came up to the cold attic often, acting like it was a fun place to be. Even though Sara and her both knew the truth, even in the hardship, Sara had her friends to lean on, and she was incredibly grateful for that. She also leaned on her imagination. While she was working countless hours in the cold or in poor, poor conditions, she would let her mind drift. She pretended she was a princess disguised as a servant or a prisoner in the Bastille. These little games she played made her living situation more bearable. And it made Sara's heart shine even brighter. One day, she found a coin on the sidewalk. She excitedly brought herself some fresh buns, because she was starving. But on the way out of the store, she spotted a girl even more hungry than she was. She gave the buns to the girl, though her own stomach growled. The shopkeeper saw this and wanted to reward Sara for her kindness. But she had already raced off. Instead, he offered the beggar girl a warm place to stay and a meal, taking her off the streets. But while Sara was living this challenging life, struggling to survive as a pauper, there was something rather incredible happening. Mr. Carrisford and Ram Dass, his Indian assistant, moved to the building beside Miss Minchin's school. Mr. Carrisford, who'd been a business partner of Sara's father in the diamond mines, which, as it turned out, had not failed at all. In reality, the diamond mines had been immensely successful, and Mr. Carrisford came to England to try and find Sara and give her the money she deserved as an heiress. But there was one problem. Mr. Carrisford had no idea who Sara was and where to look for her. For months, the two lived right beside each other. Sara resided up in the attic, while Mr. Carrisford pored over news articles and sent letters trying to find her. And soon, their paths crossed as a result of highly unusual circumstances. Ram Dass had a pet monkey that traveled everywhere with him. And one day, that monkey escaped and climbed across the roof into Sara's room. When he went to retrieve it, Sara helped him, and he saw the conditions of her room. He went back and told Mr. Carrisford, who purchased warm blankets, furniture, food, and other gifts for poor Sara. They left them anonymously in the room, giving Sara things she desperately needed. Sara was grateful for the gifts, and in time, her health and wellness began to improve. A few days later, the monkey, once again, meandered into Sara's room. Sara returned the monkey, and, after a friendly chat with the two men, she revealed that she was born in India. Mr. Carrisford asked who her father was, and, upon learning the truth, both of their lives changed forever. Sara was overjoyed at the proposal of staying with Mr. Carrisford and living a carefree life once more. She would get the fortune that was her father's, and now rightfully hers. Sara spent the rest of her childhood days living with Mr. Carrisford, who was a loving father figure to her. She spent time with her friends that she grew to love at the boarding school, and she spent most of her time giving back to the poor, because she knew what it had been like. I hope you have enjoyed this story, and it has brought you a night of peaceful, restful sleep. Please, join me again tomorrow night for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.